Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. It's time for another week of Would you believe that the numbers have tapered off a little bit since I don't do this 5 days a week? Would that be shocking to anyone?
No.
Would you believe that maybe I'm not a part of the routine as much as I was? More of a novelty.
Hopefully the national perspective, like that's where it's shifted now.
Yeah, that would be good since that is my actual job.
You'll find out when people's 2024 Spotify numbers come out in 9 months.
Ooh, if I'm on anybody's Wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You have more hours of content now.
I do. And you can still go into the Winklerverse on all these platforms. Mm-hmm. Quick programming note. We've got Paul Emmett, Grant Bills here. Was very excited for Thursday. Was going to watch the Brewers opening day and do a watch along or a watch party or whatever. We were just going to hang out on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it got postponed, which I don't think was a surprise to anybody watching the forecast. I was watching the Apple forecast and it proved to be right again. And it is now going to be played the opening day against the Mets on Friday. Of which is Good Friday, of which my kid has off from school.
Mm.
So unless it's Winkler and Sons watch party, which I don't think he's ready for yet.
No.
And I would never do that to him. No watch party.
Mm.
Very sad.
It is. Time to go to Mass now, which is fine. That'll be perfect. You and the boy.
Yeah, we're just deciding on Friday, like, which masses we want to go to because they're all day, and so we want to make sure we hit multiple and really experience it. The big news, I think, other than that, Pat Bev's hurt.
I want to talk about that, so don't go too deep.
I figured you would. So wherever you want to start, Paul, that or anything else, you are the curator. So please take it away.
All right, I want to start here because it's the one that has me the most curious, and it is Brewers. I tested this one with some buddies because I didn't know how to frame it. What I wanted to ask you guys is essentially like long form, who will the Brewers team MVP be this year?
So here's how look at their roster.
Please. That's a good start. So here's how I'm going to frame it. If you had, you know, even odds across the board, right? Even odds across the board, no favorites or underdogs or whatever else. And I gave you Freddie, Yelich, Contreras, or the field that the Brewers team MVP will be one of either Yelich, Peralta, or Contreras. You get one of them or you get the field. Mm-hmm or mm-mm, the Brewers team MVP will be one of Freddie, Yelich, or Contreras. And that you would take that trio over the field. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, Grant, you spent a week.
I did. So many things. So many things. So many observations, conversations, et cetera, at the front of my mind. I think Freddie's really important because they don't have another Freddie. Like, I thought Aaron Ashby was like, oh, here's the other guy who's actually a prototypical starter in their athletic prime, with a deep selection of pitches, and it seems like he's not ready to be a major league starter right now. So he probably needs some time in AAA. So it's kind of the starting pitching staff is kind of Freddie Peralta and the field, right?
Yeah.
So I think for this Brewers team to win the division, or at least come really, really close, Freddie needs to make 30 starts. He needs to be available all year, and he needs to have the best season of his career. So I think I'm leaning Freddie. And I'm absolutely saying, I'm just trying to decide which one of these players in that little group that you get. I think Freddie Peralta, because there's only one Freddie, and Contreras, because I think he has the upside to be far and away the best offensive player, maybe the best all-around player on the team. So yeah. Because those two are in that group, Yelich is almost secondary, I will say a resounding, mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So if we took Yelich out, would you still say mm-hmm?
Yeah, I would. You know, like Rhys Hoskins really intrigues me because he's bringing something brand new to the table that they have lacked for a long
time. I would like to, since you mentioned Reese, Jack Stern, who I work with sometimes, he's a Phillies fan. Not that Jack Stern.
Right. There's another one.
There's a Wisconsin Jack Stern.
CBS producers Jack Stern.
Who I don't know that really. And then the CBS guy. And I believe he's a Philly fan because he was talking about, he's like, oh, you're not going to like Reese Hoskins. He's going to disappoint you.
Hmm.
And I'm like, Jack, the Brewers haven't had a good first baseman since Prince Fielder. I will love Reese Hoskins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what he is. So just wanted to mention that, Grant. Go ahead.
No, I agree. Well, and that's why I think Reese Hoskins has such a strong likelihood of being a really impactful player, is because it's, you're not just thinking about Reese Hoskins, you're thinking about Reese Hoskins in the past context of the first base position, which has been, like, last year they were running Owen Miller out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They Rowdy Tellez was terrible. Owen Miller kind of had to completely change positions to even fit in over there. Actually, even credit, I think he did a decent job after a little time, but I would say either Contreras or Freddie. Yeah, I think it has to be one of those two. And if you want to include a third, Yelich, Hoskins, I think those are both fine candidates if you want to round out a trio.
I would go on Contreras or Freddie, simply because they're the only two Brewers I know. but like, it could, who else could it be? It could be one of these relievers that, okay, have a great year, but you don't bet on that.
Mm-hmm.
Adames, you know, I'm a true hater.
Contract year, bounce back year.
I think he's back. I think I'm buying Adames stock 2024.
You could be high on Churio, but I mean.
So one of my buddies said his answer is Churio. And I said, I mean, I love the optimism. Like, if Jackson Churio is your team MVP and he's 20 years old and he's never taken that bat in Major League Baseball, even if the Brewers had a losing season, I don't want that to happen, obviously. But I would still be like, wow, that was fun. Like, oh my God. Like, if he's the team MVP, he's incredible. Like, that would be amazing. I would not put my money on that. I do think it's, well, we should probably mention the Dodgers just gave Will Smith, catcher, 10 years and $140 million.
That's so fucking annoying. Like, we gave him 10 years. Like, we get it. Okay, fuck off. Respectfully. Like, I see shit like that and it just makes me mad.
But you're saying because of that, because the Dodgers are able to take that risk,
because
you're saying?
Yeah, because I don't even care what the final dollar amount. What was it, like $140 million?
Yeah.
Like, yep. We gave him 10 years. Stop. Like, if the Brewers give a deal longer than 2 years, it's like, ooh. See how this thing ages, you know, doesn't age well on the back end. They're just throwing out 10 year deals. Like, it's no big deal.
But I mean, that is the framework, as it were, for a Contreras extension. But their top rated catching prospect ever, I think, is probably a 2025 debut guy with Jefferson Carroll. But anyway,
Jefferson. By the way, it's a soft J.
Oh, thank you. I've actually never heard it pronounced. I've seen it.
I didn't know that until very recently either.
Okay, good. Education. I love it.
I knew it, but nobody asked me.
I'm being a prick. No one asked.
No, some people take that stuff wrong. I'm like, oh, good. I learned something. That's awesome. You know, I learned something today. I'm going to say, I'm trying to think who else it would realistically be. I think Hoskins, man, would Churio be fun if that were the answer. Frelick, I'm a huge Frelick believer. If he is able to successfully split his time, I know that won't happen in the first 2 months of the season with Garrett Mitchell's injury, that being that Frelick would split his time. I think that's a lot less likely to happen now, unfortunately. But if he can prove to be a third base center fielder combo, that is ridiculous and would be huge. But I'm going to say, if I only gave you one name, Grant, yours is Freddie. If you got one guy, you get to put.
I think it's probably Contreras, because I think Contreras has the stuff to maybe be close to the best, if not the best catcher in baseball. I don't think Freddie has the stuff to be the best starter in baseball.
And Contreras can hit. And then when you just like watch baseball, if there's a position where you notice the defense a little more, you know, maybe shortstop, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But catcher is a big one. Catcher. So we can kind of, even though they're all essentially two-way guys.
Yeah.
We can say he's more of a two-way guy.
And I think you have the ability to affect so much of the game as a catcher with your energy and your leader and your just everything that you provide. I think from the, and I think that's why Molina was such a difference maker for the Cardinals for such a long time and why his absence was really, really felt when he first left. I think a catcher can really, really impact all parts of the game. Like maybe a left fielder can't, or a third baseman can't, for example. Sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I do. I thought you were going to say Peralta, Grant, if you were given, hey, you only get one, because I was going to then say Contreras. I do think if forced to choose just one, I would choose Contreras. But yeah.
I would like to say that the MVP of my vacation was the Delta 8 gummies.
Man, you're a segue master. All right, go ahead.
Which you can purchase at happyplacehemp.com. Happy Place Hemp, the promo code is BART. They've also got them in the 50 milligrams per piece, which enjoy that if you would like to. A lot of other different accessories, but mainly it's the gummies that you can enjoy. The tinctures and the balms and the other stuff. We've talked about Tim's brother's dying dog that they use the pet. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Kind of Schrodinger's dog. I'm stretching.
Yeah.
Also, Tim, this motherfucker was supposed to join me on Tuesday. And, you know, I figured he might fall asleep because he's got weird hours. And I thought, you know, we did the show at 2. I thought I'd hear from him at like 4:30. I heard from him at 9 o'clock. He said, oh, I fell asleep and I've been out the whole time. So glad to know that Tim Shea is catching up on sleep. If you need to catch up on sleep, the CBD, CBN ones, the gummies are great for you. Happy Place Hemp, 25% off. The promo code is BART. Every order, happyplacehemp.com.
All right, let's move to the Pat Bev injury that you referenced. It sounds like he's going to try to play through it, at least eventually. But either way, the Patrick Beverly, the Pat Bev injury is a huge, relatively to like Bucks expectations and how far they could go. He's quote unquote only a bench player, but like this is a huge injury for the projection that you would have for the Bucks this season. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, if I may also address their loss to the Lakers.
You may.
Which, it's you wish you could have had that game. You had a big lead. Obviously, the Lakers had a free throw discrepancy, but, you know, that's going to happen. What can you do? The thing that if you would say, Bart, what do you miss the least about doing your podcast every single day?
Bart, what do you miss the least about doing your podcast every single day?
I would say it's that the Bucks post games got very repetitive in terms of they would win and we would all celebrate. But then if they would lose, everything was over in that one. Like the Bucks are not down 1-0 to the Lakers. This does not make them, this does not give the Celtics a head start in any conference final. Mm-hmm. Like this game really impacts very little, if anything. Once we get into the playoffs, we won't think about any of these games. So I just, obviously I got tired of the back and forth and then, you know, I jumped in a little last night, but I just don't understand why. And I got cocky and said it's because I'm a Warriors fan also. I recognize the regular season might be irrelevant. But I don't understand why people, after we've seen this team win a title, we've seen them win a title. We've seen how the playoffs are totally different and that regular season. Like, we don't need all the answers today. They have been improving. Sure, Doc's record isn't great. Or what is it, 500 or something? But no. They're looking better. Doc's getting more out of them, I think. He's coaching them a different way. He's coaching them like they're – like he's not holding anything back in his press conferences. He doesn't, you know, futz around with anything. He's very blunt and straight to the point. And so I think that that is going to serve them well. I just don't understand. I don't understand how Bucks fans, regardless of your age, how you've seen a title. So why do you still choose – to be this upset about every game? Like, some of that is within your control about how much you choose to let these games affect you. Yeah, I wanted them to win. And yeah, kind of, it sucked that they blew it. But all right, you take your lumps, you move on. I get upset that, okay, every, you know, Lakers, best win of the season, all this bullshit. Because it was a nationally televised game, and Sunday against the Thunder, nobody watched.
Yeah.
But everybody watched this game. As far as Pat Bev, I think that's a big injury. I think that's a big injury because he was bringing he was bringing something that they were missing. Gallinari seems to be another one of these Paul Gasol, Mirotic kind of, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
Beverly was an upgrade over Campaign. AJ Green might get some more minutes, but I don't trust, you know, he'll have big performances, but I don't trust that he can do it every night. Beauchamp and Jackson, they don't play enough to, they haven't been playing enough to like all of a sudden come on and make a huge contribution, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think it's a big deal. I think it sounds like he's going to rest throughout the regular season. Maybe, and this is just me seeing the clips from his podcast, maybe see what he can afford to not play in the first round series, depending who the Bucks got. But I, you know, he's, what is he, 35? He's hunting a championship. If he can play, he's going to try to play. So,
yeah,
but it's a big deal. It's certainly a big deal. It was a big trade. I can't say it was a big trade acquisition and then say it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal.
Grant or Pat Bev's injury, whether he plays through it or not, but this is a big, big blow to the, to your projection for the Bucks this season.
Cause I think this acquisition did a lot of the same things. It accomplished a lot of the same things that the PJ Tucker acquisition did. It's not necessarily about like how many points he's going to score or like necessarily how good a defense he's going to play. Cause PJ Tucker got cooked by Kevin Durant at times in that playoff run and others. It was more of an attitude thing. Like, I don't know that Chris and Drew at the time are now Dame and Giannis. I don't know if they're the most edgy group. I don't question Giannis's desire, and I don't question his motivation and his heart. I think you need a little bit of an edge. I don't know if he has that. So I think that was big for Patrick Beverley, and I think it was a really good pairing to supercharge Bobby Portis a little bit and start to get some contributions from him, which really wasn't the case for the first couple months of the season. I also think that, like, I think Patrick Beverley with a jacked up wrist could play and still be impactful for this team. Like, I don't,
for sure.
I'd prefer you're not shooting the ball. Like, I don't need you to be corking threes. Like, I think him being out there and providing a little oomph and being a pain in the ass for the opposing team, I think he can do the things he needs to do to help this team while having a messed up wrist. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's thinking along those same lines. I don't know.
The Bucks did submit an injury report for New Orleans or New Orleans, Matt, whatever he fucking, what is it?
I don't know. I know it's Nevada.
Nevada.
I've never been taught how to say properly New Orleans, New Orleans.
I think the locals go with Nawlins.
I think they do, but are we allowed to?
Emeril Lagasse on Food Network always said New Orleans. That's how he would say it.
New Orleans.
Well, now you're emphasizing it too much. You just got to let it roll off. Like New a Orleans. Couple weeks ago when I said Counting Crows and you gave me shit, it's the same thing. It's New Orleans. Just let it.
No, you said Counting Crows.
No, I did on the radio say Breaking Benjamin the other day when I was promoting a local concert.
You talked about, do you know who Breaking Benjamin is?
Yeah, the Breaking Benjamin. They're playing at the Lacrosse Center a week from yesterday.
Did you say the Breaking Benjamin?
No, I did not. I said Breaking Benjamin, and then I stopped myself and said that sounded dumb. It is okay. Breaking Benjamin featuring Daughtry, who will be there as well. It's very exciting.
Who? Okay, that song I was listening to, first of all, Pat Bev, questionable.
Okay.
Really?
Him is questionable.
Yeah. For the New Orleans game.
Yeah.
For the New Orleans game.
I was in the car and like Daughtry Home came on.
I'm going home.
And I was like, fuck, that's kind of a good song.
It is a good song.
Those three chord rock songs, like who's the one I always think of?
Well, there's so many.
I know, but who's fuck? Who's the?
You're thinking of
no.
Okay,
I'm not sure he's thinking of anything. He's yet to provide one clue for
the. Well, he said three chord rock songs, which reminds me of the recent lawsuit from who just got sued and then did the three chord thing at the.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Do you know, God, huge pop singer. Come on,
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran, thank you. He basically proved that like. every song ever written was.
Well, there's only. I was just listening to Stern today, and the Black Crowes were on there.
The Black Crowes, okay.
And they had a song that they thought sounded a lot like Rod Stewart, so they left it off the album.
Oh.
And then later they put it on, and because they asked Rod about it, he goes, "I don't give a shit." And then the Black Crowes are like, "Well, yeah, I mean, there's only 12 fucking chords. Like, a lot of these songs, that's whenever music like sounds like, yeah, it's gonna fucking sound." There's only so many chords.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't. It's like if you paint colors and you're like, oh, I painted a rainbow. No, I invented a rainbow. Well, at some point, someone else is going to fucking invent a rainbow.
Right. Yeah.
Who is the band? There's one band I'm thinking of totally.
Bad Omens.
No. It's somewhere in the like Seether kind of.
Saliva.
No,
fuck Cherry.
No, what was this? God damn it,
Nickelback, Creed.
No, it's
Shinedown.
It's not Shinedown, but it's so close.
3 Days Grace.
No, oh God.
I'm doing a pretty good job hitting you with some options here.
I know. I got to think of this. I can't even think of this. I had this song on my Rhapsody, and I thought it was like the best song ever. And then I look back.
The White Stripes.
No. Wrong.
Green
wrong,
Day.
Wrong genre. We're hitting like alt rock here.
There's Brent. That much of a difference. You're telling me that the White
I'm
Stripes.
I'm sure Paul will know this. I'm talking about the kind of quote unquote rock that was played on WIXX.
Of course. I mean, they now call it like dad rock, or divorced dad rock or whatever the fuck. Like,
and I saw an article that they did on WIXX out of Green Bay once because they're a top 40 station, and they're like, you guys play these rock songs, and they're like, we're a little different here in northern Wisconsin in terms of our musical taste. You know, this rock genre is really, really proficient. What is the fucking song I'm thinking of?
They also call it butt rock.
Hinder?
Now,
who?
I'm looking at a playlist called Divorced Dad Rock.
There you go, or butt rock. There's some, yeah.
Crossfade, Linkin Park.
Crossfade's a good option, Bart.
Puddle of Mud. Uba Stank. Just lie and say that we've guessed it correctly. So
No. I wanna find this. This is important.
We don't even know what song. I haven't even given you a hint of like what song I'm thinking.
You've given us absolutely nothing.
Three chords and like who is the example? He said it's not Saliva. He said it's not Seether, but it's sort of Seether. Stained.
It's not Stained.
Godsmack.
Bowling for Soup.
No.
It's not Queens of the Stone Age.
I mean, the song's playing at Dell's right
the
now.
The Killers.
Cross. I just know it.
The Killers.
What is the fucking song I'm thinking of? If I go get one of my CDs, it'll be on there.
I just hope people are shouting like options right now as they listen to this. Because that's
Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind.
Not that's The Red by Chevelle.
Oh, Chevelle is a pretty, wow.
Tonic. Tonic, by the way, played in lacrosse last summer.
30 Seconds to Mars. 311.
Thrice.
Thrice. No, Thrice is more like heavy punk. These are all coming up under your like dad rock.
Divorce dad rock. Yeah.
Right. That is actually an important.
Anyway, ask another one. This sucks.
Well, no, you're going to be very distracted.
No, I won't. I'll listen and then Grant can talk. I'll find it.
You're going to keep looking now?
Oh, the song I'm thinking of.
I'm so glad you found it.
I did. Is Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse.
Oh, okay, that's not where we really were. Okay.
But that's the song I'm thinking of. Where I jam. That's the song. I heard that song. And I'm like, this song's so fucking great.
It is great. It's a great song. You know who else?
I'm even more in love with you.
No, it's got to be cleaner than that. So you're going like grungy on that. It's a pretty clean. You know, I heard you mention the other day, Bart. I think it was you who mentioned the. I think it was you. You mentioned The Fray. Who, like, just doesn't exist anymore. But, like, 20 years ago, they had a couple where I was like, dude, the cable car song is, like, a legit fucking song.
Oh, if there was a TV show and then there was a sad sequence at the end, it was The Fray.
And you know what show did that better than any other show? Bart is House. Oh, they killed it.
I would say the OC and then Grey's Anatomy and strong runner up.
Grey's Anatomy is fine.
Yeah.
I know Bart's answer. And I'm pretty sure I know Grant's, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be the outlier here. You would look up the set list to a show before you go.
I don't go to enough shows for that.
If you're like, hey, I'm going to the show, like, I want to know what they're going to play. I want to know the order.
Well, I'm going to Death Cab coming up, but I know what that is. It's the 20th anniversary of Transatlanticism.
They're going to play in order, right?
Yeah. If anyone's going to be there, buy me a beer.
I look them up, but the couple bands that I see religiously or acts that I see religiously, I know vary the set list from night to night. So when I look up the set list from the night before, it's more to learn what I'm not going to hear rather than learn what I am going to hear.
That is so, I mean, it makes sense given the genres you listen to, but like, that's very odd in the grand scheme of music because you have your lights that accompany the song. You have your video boards that accompany the song. Like it's all programmed as a, you know, but if you go to like jam rock, then there's,
who do you think bands that go on these tours should cater to? The guy who's going to one concert or the people that follow them for a 5-6 leg?
God, I love this question.
Stretch.
No. This is a great question. I think they need to cater more so to the hardcores.
Wow.
I think you got to play like the four.
You got to play the hits, Paul.
I was thinking of this, and I'm like, you guys would be like, okay, pass, next. But I was thinking, like, Korn just announced a tour the other day. And, like, they have to play Freak on a Leash. Like, they have to play, like, Chutes and Ladders. They have to – but then, like, at one point, you're like, guys, like, you could look them up on that set list website. You can see how many times every band has played every song. And, like, they probably just hate it. So if they have to play, like, the newer songs, they'd probably be more passionate about it and enjoy it more so the performance would be better.
But it's like but
Korn has to play Blind. If you go to a Korn show and they don't play Blind, you didn't see Korn. So I'm gonna say you have to pack in like your 4 or 5 regulars, and then the other 10 to 12 songs should be always spruced up tour to tour.
Two things on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, it looks like Happy Place Hemp logo is just on my wall.
It does.
I like that. That's pretty nice. And then the second thing is I used to think like, why won't these bands, this is the song that made you popular. Like, you have to play it every night. But then if you're playing it for 20 years and it's like, bye, 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 don't ever want to tell.
Imagine NSYNC did a reunion tour and they didn't play Bye, Bye, Bye. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they come out there and we're like, all right, we have a new album. We're going to do that for you tonight.
Front to back, new stuff only.
Yeah, this is our new, some of our new albums. Why is the bathroom line so fucking long all of a sudden? All right. That's a good music corner.
That was a great music corner. And by the way, I brought up the set list thing only to say that I recently looked at Daughtry's set. He doesn't play Home at all. Yes, he doesn't play Home.
Who the fuck does he think he is?
Yeah, what the fuck?
And he wrote that
song.
He's
in the Lacrosse Center on a Tuesday night. He's going to play his fucking hits, okay?
No, and
I'm going to the Washington County Fair to see Daughtry. I need to fucking hear Home, man.
And he doesn't play for different reasons. I think, I don't know if he does not play Feels Like Tonight either.
Well, you're crazy if you think I know what the fuck that is.
But it feels like tonight. And now is.
That's Daughtry?
There's nothing I would want to do.
Yeah, I got you now.
Did you guys look at the Summerfest lineup? Are we going to see anyone in particular?
Taking Back Sunday.
No, I didn't look. Is Young Gravy headlining two nights again or not?
No, I don't Young Gravy.
Is he over with or did that?
I think so. My boy Keith Urban is headlining. I've never seen Herb. I kind of want to see him. If anyone wants to go.
There's not a lot. I was disappointed. I must not be the target demo. But like, who is? Like, we were texting about Lollapalooza. Yeah,
who is?
Summerfest casts a wide net. Summerfest does a way better job. Lollapalooza is a music festival designed for the people that watch the Discover videos on the back page of Snapchat. That's who Lollapalooza is for. It's all fucking internet TikTok acts, influencer acts.
Maroon 5 seems like a band that would only play like two of the songs people like.
They're like, play This Love. And he's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I would, yeah, no. No.
They're going to end up playing Moves Like Jagger four times.
Oh, that's a drag.
God. I hate that song.
Maroon, shut up. Maroon 5 had some, and I know Adam Levine kind of, from a PR perspective, kind of stepped in it not that long ago with some.
He did.
Exposed DMs. REO Speedwagon is going to be there. I want to go with Freems. I want to go.
You know what? That's the my dad took me to REO Speedwagon like 30 years ago. I would only go either with my dad or with Freems, but either of those would be magical with those people.
REO's good. Kevin Cronin.
I know they're. I know they are.
Sounds good. Those songs are still great.
But imagine seeing REO with Chuck Freeman. Like,
imagine seeing REO as many times as Chuck Freeman has seen them. He doesn't need to look up the set list. He probably just knows.
He informed the set list. He was messaging.
There's a band that's going to be there called The Hold Steady.
Sure, I've heard of them.
I saw them on New Year's Eve once, and I got really into them. And now anytime I hear their music, I like can't stand it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I do want to see KB and the Dungarees. Obviously, let me look up.
Oh, I saw them last year.
That's right.
It's a return appearance.
Poked your head in the tent.
I did.
Motley Crue and Seether and Buck Cherry for some good butt rock. Have you guys seen the videos of Motley Crue live? Like, have you seen those recently of the way that Vince Neil sings?
I'm sure he sounds great. If I had to bet money, I'm just like I would bet on opening day weather in New York being beautiful. I bet the current arrangement of Motley Crue is at their physical peak. I would imagine.
Well, clearly there's not much going on.
All right. Sorry. Let's get back to this. All right. Pat Bev. I think we crossed that one. All right.
We got real passionate about it too. That's why we talked about fucking Shine Down for 20 minutes.
That's your fault. By the way.
All of that just to come back with, actually, who was it now? Who was the song? What was the song?
I don't even remember.
Hanging by a Moment, Lifehouse.
Okay. Here's more of like a, less of an mm-hmm. Because who do you think in the 2000s? So Ty Windish, did he go to Marquette? Do we know? Because he did a pro Marquette tweet and made me think of this. He wrote,
I don't know where he went.
He tweeted, he X'd, he posted, Marquette has as many NCAA tournament wins in the last 3 days as Wisconsin does in 7 years. Mm. My first thought was, ooh, fighting words for some Badgers fans. But my second thought was like, I wonder who's had the better 2000s. Like since the year 2000 in the past 24, 25 seasons, Badgers or Marquette, who would you think, and I have the tally for you, but like just out of curiosity, who do you think has, and maybe there's some subjectivity to it.
But so who's got a better record in the tournament?
Who's had a better 2000s? You can do regular season. You can do how far they've got. How many times they've got to a certain point.
Here's how this is going to go. You would think the Badgers. And I think it is the Badgers if you really stacked up the two resumes. But I think where Paul is leading us here, and we can just skip to the conclusion and past whatever this is it's going to be a lot closer than you'd think at first glance. I would imagine.
Well, Marquette had the run, but then the Badgers had the run.
The Badgers have been more consistent.
Let me just ask, how many appearances do you think for each since the year 2000?
In the Sweet 16?
No, NCAA appearances. Times they've made the tournament in the past now 25 seasons since the year 2000.
I mean, the Badgers have. We're not counting 2020.
Nobody. Yeah.
I don't know, like 18 to 15.
No, it's more than that.
For who?
For the Badgers. Badgers 20, Marquette 15.
I would say 23 times for the Badgers. 22.
And Marquette.
Less than that, but not dramatically so. But right, still Bart, a healthy lesser amount.
Bart, your second guess was really close. 20 for the Badgers, 14 for Marquette.
I'm a good guesser.
Badgers had, of course, the championship game, the Final Four, one Elite Eight, six Sweet 16s, seven Round of 32s, four first-round exits. Marquette, who's still going, so TBD, has one Final Four, same, one Elite Eight, same, only two Sweet 16s as opposed to six. And of course, the one championship came for the Badgers. Marquette two round of 32s as compared to the Badgers.
Marquette's got a decent chance to win.
Yeah, they do. So anyway, the answer, I do think the objective answer to who's had a better 2000, it's not a huge blowout. And Marquette, with a Final Four appearance, could arguably weight this pretty fairly. But it is the Badgers. But there was that stretch of that stretch one under Wojo and Marquette that kind of ruined things. But then again, like, guard in the past 7 years has been not good. I mean,
they have a Big Ten regular season title, and
they've been, but like, well, okay. So actually, let me ask you this: you know, Bart talks about, like, with Rodgers and the MVPs, like, who, I don't care. What does that do for me? So Grant,
I'd say a Big Ten regular season title for my college basketball team is much more significant and memorable and meaningful for a fan than an individual player award like an MVP.
I'd be more into college basketball if the Badgers were always a bubble team.
As opposed to them being...
Because then I'd watch more games. There's no stakes until for it. There's no stakes.
There are stakes. There are, because the regular season title means something.
Why, though? Why does it mean something?
Because it's a banner you hang in. You won the conference that year.
But so then if you win. But then if you lose in the 5-12 to a team that then goes on to lose by 40, like, are you sure it mattered?
It's all part of it. Yes, it matters. It's all part of it. It's all of it. All of it matters. The regular season, the pursuit of a regular season title matters. The tournament matters. The conference tournament matters. They can all be individually meaningful.
Do you think you'll think that in 13 years when you're old and grizzled like us?
Yes. Probably more so, honestly. I am not someone who puts a ton of weight on the tournament. It's fluky. It's literally called March Madness. Like, wild upsets happen. The problem with Wisconsin is, mixed in between the first-round losses, they don't have any runs. That's the problem. First-round exits are going to happen even for the best coaches and best programs. The Badgers haven't had runs. That's their problem.
Like, the Badgers are kind of doing what Virginia's done. But Virginia had they won. They had a run. But otherwise, yeah, they're losing all the fucking time.
Not as dramatic. I mean, Virginia's been seeded higher.
Yeah, they've been more dramatic.
But point is taken. The problem with Greg Gard is now we're getting farther and farther removed from his two best years. His two best years in the tournament were 16 and 17.
Yeah.
And they should have been in the Elite Eight at least one. They left meat on the bone in both of those runs. They blew it to Notre Dame, and then they blew it the next year to Florida on that buzzer beater when no one just decided to cover JP McCura. So not only are Greg Gard's best years getting further and further away, I also think his best year should have been better. I think they underperformed in the tournament both of those Sweet 16 years.
So then here's my other quick Badgers aside and college basketball aside. In the lifetimes of Bart and I, since the mid-80s, I know it's a little bit harder for you, Grant, but you have a good history of it. Put together your Badgers starting five. The best Badgers starting five since, let's call it 1985, 1984. Any Badgers player since
1984?
Then? 1984? Well, again, I would tell you, like, I didn't have any guys on that team until the 90s. So, I mean, I'm not going to tell you my full list, but I'll just say, like, you don't need to study the 1987 roster necessarily. Because, again, no one that I talked to about this, and this was another one of my buddy chats that I was chatting with the guys about during the Badgers Friday night disgusting display. And I'm just curious, this is not one I think you're just going to instantly have an answer to. So while you look some things up, I think the goal is to say, in the past like 30, 35 years, if you had to build your Badgers starting five, and not who are the five best players, but who's your best starting five. So the skill sets have to complement. You have to build it however you would build it.
Bill Simmons over here. The team has to make sense. You can't just throw
a bunch of them. Can I go back and put Wes Matthews on there?
As in Wes Marquette of his dad. What year did he play?
70s.
Nope.
Off he went team. To Marquette. Why?
No. His son went to Marquette.
His Faja. Okay.
Yeah, Faja.
I mean, it's Frank and Decker and Finley, and then
Decker's not on it. Respectfully, I don't think. I don't think Decker's on it. Who? What? Finley, Harris, Tucker, Kaminsky,
Beamsma, Krabenhoff.
Koenig. If you're asking my opinion, I'll take Bronson Koenig with the ball in his hand over just about anybody I've ever watched play for this team in my lifetime.
Alondo Tucker.
Yeah. Finley, Harris, Tucker, Kaminsky. Koenig's not the right answer, but it's my answer. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters for this podcast.
John Lewis.
I did a charity thing with Trayvon Hughes once.
Brian Butch.
I got asked to speak at this basketball dinner. I knew nothing about it. It was awful. I was terrible. I made $100.
Can you start on this point? On this Badgers team, can you start Lewis with Kaminsky, or are you too long and thin? And do you want to nominate Rashard Griffith to be your starting center?
I just don't know enough about. I don't consume. What's the way that I consume Badgers? I consume Badgers like I consume Law and Order. Like, I watch the episode and it all gets in, and then, but then like the next week, you're like, what happened on last week's Law and Order? Ah, fuck, I don't know. And then sometimes they have like returning guys come back, and I'm like, does that guy look familiar? Oh, he was a cast member for 7 years? Oh, shit.
Do they do the recaps at the beginning of Law and Order episodes? Previously on Law and Order.
No, right? Because each episode is contained?
Law and Order doesn't do that. SVU might. There's more threads in that one.
I see.
Like Benson's looking for this girl, Maddie. They found her bracelet in a van.
Oh, jeez. This is an ongoing?
The mom's real pissed. Dad tried to kill himself.
Bart, I saw a thing on Twitter the other day where it was like, if someone murdered your significant other, which like television personality would you want? Like, if you could pick one person off of television to solve the murder, who would it be? And there was some high level Law and Order discourse, different characters.
How about this? Dexter.
It's not a bad answer.
He probably did it.
Did you like Criminal Minds, Bart? Were you ever a Criminal Minds guy?
No.
There's a golden rule, Grant, which is CBS shows are dog shit.
I had a girlfriend years ago.
Like she CBS loved.
Just what are the best? Go ahead.
Well, she just loved Criminal Minds, and she loved Matthew Gray Grubler. Like just the biggest. And it pissed me off.
What are the five best CBS shows since 2000?
How I Met Your Mother, despite the bad ending.
Well, bad ending ruined the whole thing for me.
It did. It did really. Yeah.
Raymond, King of Queens.
Raymond? Good. Good.
Everybody love it. Okay.
Big Bang Theory.
No. Stop it.
No.
Big Bang Theory. Oh
man, there's a lot of just total crap.
We're all naming comedies. What about Blue Bloods? What about
these shows are literally the shows that I use to like mock CBS. Like,
what about JAG? What about NCIS?
What about JAG?
About Hawaii 5-0.
Was The Blacklist on CBS?
No, nope, that was NBC.
That was a good show, though, right? I'm not missing.
Early on, it was. Early on,
Spader was good in that.
Yeah, Spader was. It was right after The Office, and he's pretty much just took that character and made it weirder.
He was.
My wheelhouse is 90s TV. I could probably name you a lot of the 90s. If you said CBS Monday 8 o'clock 1997, I could probably. I think it was Cosby at the time.
That's
Cosby
your pretty friend. Show.
All right, anything else?
Yeah, let's keep doing the CBS.
CBS, Hoobastank, what a show.
Dude, that is actually honestly what I would want to tune in for. Here's my last one, and this one you might hate it, but I'm going to ask it because I almost led with it because I was so curious about it. You get to start an NBA franchise. Ready? And I'm going to give you three players who are all on the same team right now, and you get to pick which trio you want to take to start your NBA franchise from scratch.
From scratch.
You get Wemby, Devin Vassell, and Keldon Johnson. Okay. You get Wemby, Keldon. Or you get Shea, Chet, and Jalen Williams. Wing Jalen Williams. You would take the Wemby trio because it has Wemby. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying mm-mm. I'm with Bart.
I'm taking the Thunder.
Grant.
Just look at the teams. Those are the teams. The Spurs are dog shit and the Thunder are the top seed.
I don't care about the other players. I want the best player. Shea and Shea is great, but I've seen the ball dominant, slashing, hacking point guard before.
Wemby's very good. Wemby's better than
he's a motherfucker, and no other young players are. My generation.
Do they have any plan to be good at any time?
He's like 17.
I think we've got to get him out of San Antonio, out of a small market,
out of the fifth biggest market in the country.
We've got to get him away from this historically great franchise because
yeah.
They're not winning right now.
He needs to be a Knick. I mean, let's face it. What he would do.
So I think the right answer, what you should do, even though it's not what I'm going to say, is like you take the best player and you're like, I don't care. And then give me Zach Collins and Doug McDermott. And like, I don't know. We have Wemby. But the trio is just so the OKC trio is so young still and so enticing.
So is Wemby.
No, I know. So like,
I'm not trying to fight. I'm just
no. I hear you. It's okay. So this turned into a better one that I didn't know if it would. This is more of those like NBA inner circle type, you know, nerdy whatever. But with caution, knowing that I'm passing up the best player, I'm gonna go with the OKC trio.
Paul, let me ask you a question in reverse, and I mean this in jest. Okay. And as an insult, say,
with all due, but well, okay.
With all due, but I mean this lightheartedly. Okay. If you were building a 4-hour show on your favorite sports talk radio station and you were the program mm-hmm. director and you can get Bart, Todd, and Tim Shea, or you can get some mix of fucking Sam Schmitz, Toby, and Dan Plucker, who are you going to take? Realizing that Todd is not real and Tim Shea can't really do anything. You would still take the former, correct? Like you want the best. You want the
now,
best.
Though Todd may or may not exist, you're getting his likeness. You're getting his.
There's value there. I agree.
His background, his historical context of what
he behind means, the scenes acumen,
his X's and O's knowledge. I think I know where you're going with this. It's obviously the answer is the former. It's Bart and Todd and Tim, despite the kind things you said about Mr. Shea. Yeah.
I want the best player. Wemby, and it's his personality.
You want Todd. That's you want Todd.
I want Todd. It's and Paul, it's because I don't know if you've noticed, people my age are coming into professional sports now in front-facing like set like centered roles in their franchises, and yep. They're kind of all bozos. Like they all kind of suck. And yep. Wemby at age 18 is a dog. He's mm-hmm. a complete and total dog. And it's not that Shea isn't. I would buy all the Wemby stock. I would buy every single piece of it.
Yeah, you should. I mean, and you should be competing heavily for that stock.
Well, let me ask you Bucks one to wrap it up if you can.
Do it.
Because this is something I ponder.
Mm.
I present this is a risk-free investment.
Ah, I've heard that
recently. Reese Davis.
I feel like I've heard this, but yeah.
But I present you with $1 million. All you have to do to get it is accurately tell me how far the Bucks will go in the playoffs.
Okay. I think my answer is easy.
I think my answer sucks.
My answer sucks, but I think if you said it's $1 million, I think I have a pretty.
Are we doing the same thing?
Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, they'll lose in six.
$1 million on the line, the Bucks make it that they go to and then lose in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I think if the Bucks make it to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics, it's a real series.
Well, the problem is I think they're going to outshoot the fucking shit out of those threes again.
The Celtics?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
We have our guys that can shoot threes and they have their guys that can shoot threes. But then they also have guys that shouldn't be shooting threes. And all of a sudden, Porzingis is 6-for-9. Pritchard is 5-for-8. Horford.
I think it is more likely the Bucks run into the Heat and lose early in the playoffs than it is they get to a series with the Celtics and are completely outclassed. I think if they make it to a conference finals against the Celtics, it's a war.
Yeah.
And it's a real series.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good series, but Nuggets-Lakers was a good series, and that was a sweep.
Yeah, I guess when you said six games, I suppose a six-game series is a good, like, it is a good it is a good series.
He didn't say like a blowout. You can interpret it six games as, but yeah, $1 million on the line where you get the money if this result happens. Yeah. Because, by the way, this offseason, they're going to have, I think it's two first-round picks that they can now then trade. So, like, if they need to add a Bruce Brown, an Alex Caruso, or
let's say that happens.
So I think their roster will be better.
Do you think that they think, okay, we're close, let's add? Or do you think they go?
No. Mm-mm. They will not blow it up. Nor should
Middleton and Lopez are both back?
Well, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Remember when I wanted to trade Middleton for Jalen Green before the season started? I was like, Jalen Green sucks. Jalen Green's freaking great now.
I might actually be aging better than we originally thought. It might be.
You just young players, like this, we talk about with quarterbacks in the NFL, you give up too quick and you. Yeah. It's usually not a good idea to give up too quickly. No, but I think even if they did trade Middleton or Lopez, now the difference is like if they were to lose in the first round to Miami, then you would Seth Rollins intro song the hell out of it.
Burn it down.
Burn it down.
Speaking of
but that won't happen. It can't happen.
Hey, I don't know what I'm doing for Bardo Meter tomorrow.
Ooh, you want to let's hash it through.
Well, I think Grant needs to go.
I don't.
Okay.
I
could do NFL again. I did NBA. I could do baseball.
I think you probably should do baseball just because it's like opening weekend.
What about like things that baseball needs to get right this year? Like things that need to, like, I don't know, just different talking points around baseball, a nice season preview type of Bartometer.
That's a Grant Bart's going to say, or he's thinking right now, that's a lot of work.
Well,
ways that baseball can become America's top sport again.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Something like that.
Well, my answer is go to a 17 game schedule.
There's one. That's a good one. That's a stick that in there.
Bring steroids back.
Did you see that thing? Yeah.
I might do this.
Or you could go like the left bans football and we don't have that as an option anymore. Like something smart ass. Don't make it political, but something like that. Like
pitchers,
all of a sudden goes away.
Pitchers can only throw fastballs down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you imagine how fun that would be though if like the zone was like minuscule and you could only throw a fastball?
I like that.
There was I tweeted today that scene from Major League where he gets the bunt down and they win.
Mm. Willie Mays Hayes?
It couldn't happen today because of the pitch clock. There's much tension in the playoffs, and it's like
the pitch clock. Is great.
Clip it.
Tim, post. Clap.
I love how you said they could never make this movie today because I love when I see the jokes where it's like, you could never make this show today because people would watch it and say, oh, we already made that in 19.
Yeah. Couldn't make it today because they already made it.
Exactly.
Couldn't make it today.
You could make Beetlejuice and just call it Beetlejuice. Are we excited for Beetlejuice 2?
I like Beetlejuice 1, but it didn't like stick with me.
Mm. I mean,
I'm not even excited for Dune 2, if we're being honest.
You are not?
Well, I was really excited for Dune 2 at the end of Dune 1 because nothing happened in Dune 1. We were just about to get somewhere and then the movie ended and then I had to wait 3 years.
Yeah, this is true.
They did that with Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. The baseball topic is good. You could do a simple like baseball of like the.
How does baseball become national pastime again? And then the number one will be football is erased and all memory of NFL leaves our brain.
Yeah.
In some Men in Black way. That'll be number one.
That'd be good.
The 16-17 game season is actually an awesome.
That it is.
That's good.
I think, could you just imagine 1 year where it's like, fuck, the Brewers play tonight. We got to get this win.
Yeah.
Who's pitching? Well, Freddie, he always fucking pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you would only have to play the good people.
Yeah.
You only have to use the good pitchers.
Can you imagine the value of an elite starting pitcher in a 17-game season? It would be, I don't know.
Well, but would teams be more prone to go like three innings?
Maybe, but.
Because then one team would be like, well, we can't afford a starter, so what we're going to do is have six of the high-power relievers. And we're just going to try to strike you out for six straight innings.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe the more accurate reality in that world is starting pitchers just go away because you can't have a guy who throws 94. You need 95 right from the
jump. There's no such thing as going through the batting order a second time.
No, why would you ever? No need.
You like the kickoff rule? I think it's too much of a gimmick, but it'll be good.
I have no idea. All I know is when I watched it, was that the XFL that did it, Bart? You would know for sure. I know when I started watching the clips yesterday, and like I didn't watch the XFL, it seemed fake. Like my brain almost broke.
One problem I have with it is like if you catch it and kneel it in the end zone, you're at the 20. If you catch it and kneel it here, you're at the 25. If it goes out of bounds, you're at the 30. If it doesn't hit, you're at the 40. It's like just make that fucking consistent.
Do you have to? Why is it such a bigger advantage for returners? I'm trying to grasp like the...
Because they have to kick it in the little spot.
In the target zone.
You can't kick it out of the end zone.
It's an advantage for returners in that they will be forced to return it. Not necessarily that the landscape will be better. It's that they actually will have to catch the ball and return it.
But they can... If it goes into the end zone, they can...
I don't even know. I don't know.
But there are still touchbacks, right?
I literally explained the rules last night as they were presented from the NFL, and I can't.
Wait, are there touchbacks? Like, if you were to, can you fair catch it in the end zone and get it at the 20?
I think you have to down it.
You did literally catch it and then go to a knee, and then you get it to 20 or 25, depending on where you kneeled it.
The number one rule of usability is don't make me think, and these kickoff rules are making me think, and I don't appreciate it. I don't enjoy it. The rest of the rule changes are, well, the hip drop tackle is going to be dumb. Like, we just know how that's going to play out. But the challenge, the extra challenge, like, if you win challenges.
That's just so obvious. Like you should get 100 challenges if you get 99 of them correct. You should get a 100th challenge.
I agree. I agree with that. In theory. Might kind of suck in practice because there'd be a lot of
Don't get 99 calls wrong.
Yeah, hey, that's the ref's problem. That ain't the league's problem. You don't want plays challenged, then get them fucking right the first time. That's a good way to look at it, actually.
Hey, the Brewers play at noon next week during this time. What do you want to do?
Ooh.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. Good night.
I might go to a game.
You want to go to Craig Council's return with me?
I'm not going media. I thought about doing that, but I'm not doing that.
No, I don't want to cover it either. I'm going to cover it from a fan perspective.
No, I don't want to. It's Memorial Day. I don't want to go.
Well, it's – oh, yeah, it is Memorial Day, isn't it?
I'm a dad. I live in the suburbs.
Does that series start on Monday, Memorial Day?
Yeah.
It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series.
That's right. I kind of like getting drunk on the lake back home that weekend, though.
Brett and Tosa is getting tossed from the game that day.
Brett might get arrested. Forget thrown out of the stadium. He might be taken downtown.
So that's mm-hmm then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, gents. Well, always good to see you. I got to go hop on Zach Gelb's program.
Enjoy. Yeah. Winkler Wednesdays with Winkler. I will listen. I look forward to it, Bart. Thank you for having us.
Well, it'll be good to see you there.
Bye-bye.
Paul, Grant. No opening day show because of fucking rain.
See ya.
So keep checking and I'll be here eventually. I really wanted to do that show. Next week, I guess I could do one. But I kind of want to go to one of the games. Maybe Tim and I can do our parking lot party again. That would be fun. But thanks again to those guys. Again, Happy Place Hemp. love them with all my heart and soul and bones. So check them out. Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART. You get 25% off every single order, every single time. What a joy. All right. As Grant said, see ya.
Hello and welcome to the all new Football Vision podcast. My name is Phil Costa and I will be your host as we aim to add yet another show to your weekly routine. We're set on covering all the best stories from European football and beyond with insight, opinions, and hopefully some laughs from experts who simply know their subjects best. You can find us in all the usual places, and we've got some great guests in the pipeline, so do stick around for the ride.